A service for the second Sunday in Lent, February the 25th, 2024. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord has remembered us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and the great. We will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. The Lord be with you, and let us pray. O God, you see that of ourselves we have no strength. By your mighty power, defend us from the adversities that may happen to the body, and from all evil thoughts that may assault and hurt the soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. An Old Testament reading from Genesis 17. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you and may multiply you greatly. Then Abraham fell on his face, and God said to him, Behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be to you and to your offspring after you to be God. And God said to Abraham, As far as Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall become nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. O come, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And now an epistle from Romans 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 8th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. And Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, Who do people say that I am? And they told him, John the Baptist, and others say, Elijah, and others, one of the prophets. And he asked them, But who do you say that I am? Peter answered him, You are the Christ. And he strictly charged them to tell no one about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected by the elders, and the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of men. And he called him to him the crowd with his disciples and said to them, If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? For what can a man give in return for his life? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We confess our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who is conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now for a sermon entitled, Following the Real Jesus. It is based upon the Gospel reading from Mark chapter 8. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. An old game show that I have heard about but don't remember on being TV myself is Tell the Truth. In this show, a certain story is presented to a panel of celebrities. They then ask questions of three contestants in an attempt to determine who of the three are the actual person associated with the story. After the panelists make their decision, the host asks the contestants, Will the real one please stand up? It is then revealed which contestant it is and if any of the panelists were able to guess correctly. Success in this game all came down to the answers to the questions. If the panelists asked the right questions and then listened to the answers carefully, then he or she had a better chance of guessing correctly. However, if they quickly jumped to a conclusion and held to it in spite of the questions and answers, then the odds were that they would misguess and lose the game. Well, we might say that in a way the disciples had once been panelists on a game called Tell the Truth. We see this in today's gospel lesson. It was not exactly like the old game show. However, they were asked to identify their contestant of one who himself hosted the show. St. Mark tells us that this occurred when Jesus and his disciples were traveling around the villages of Caesarea Philippi. It was while they were on the way that Jesus asked his disciples, Who do people say that I am? Well, at this point, Jesus' miracles were becoming well known. He clearly had divine powers. Jesus healed many sick people. Jesus had cast out many demons. He had walked on water and then stilled the storm. He had fed a multitude with only a few loaves and fishes. Just prior to our text, he had given sight to a blind man. The word was spreading, and people were drawing conclusions as to who this man is. Therefore the disciples answered Jesus as to what the word on the street was about him. They told him how some were saying that he is John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and others one of the prophets. They were concluding that he must be a figure either from the recent or distant past, returned in power to do all that he was doing. The folks could see Jesus in the miracles, but did they really see him? By their answers, it appears that they don't tell the truth concerning who Jesus is. They see him as one who has divine powers to do amazing things, which Jesus did. However, they don't really see the truth about who Jesus is. And friends, on this second Sunday in Lent, this is a good question for us all to be asking ourselves. Who do we see Jesus as? Do we see him as the all-powerful one who can help us out of a bind? Is he the one who can bless our efforts, causing us to be successful? Is he the means to our restored health, enabling us to live long and prosperous lives? Who in their right minds wouldn't want all these things? And if Jesus has appeared on the scene to bless us with glory and prosperity, well, we'll be glad to claim it all from him. Well, at least the disciples understood the truth about Jesus, right? At first it appears so. You see, after Jesus asked them what others were saying about him, Jesus then asks them, "But who do you say that I am?" Do they have a better understanding to be able to see the truth of who Jesus is? It appeared so. Peter was their spokesman, who answered Jesus, "You are the Christ." This was a much better answer. Christ means Messiah, which means the Anointed One. Kings and prophets were the ones anointed. Jesus had come in power to do mighty things, to speak on behalf of God. Surely, as his disciples, the 12 were on their way to power, wealth, and fame. And to this day, some embark upon the Christian journey of following Christ because they too are after power, wealth, and fame. They think that Jesus will help them achieve their goals. After all, why not enjoy the best life possible and enjoy it sooner than later? Following the Christ can only help to that end. Or does it? With all the power that Jesus so far has displayed, one might see it this way. However, after Peter identified Jesus as the Christ, Jesus goes on to say what this will involve for him. We're told, "And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed." And then he says, "After 3 days, rise again," whatever that meant. And we are told that he said this plainly. No confusion here. Yet Peter and the rest were very confused. They could not see what Jesus was talking about when he spoke about his rejection, suffering, and death. That didn't seem to be the direction following Jesus should be taking them. Surely he was on his way to glory, not to death. People who start following Jesus will turn away from him once they discover that following him isn't the way of ease, glory, and wealth like they may have been taught, or at least what they may have thought. Friends, perhaps you and I are tempted to turn away from him too, from following Jesus when the way gets hard. Life with Christ isn't as easy as we may think it should be. The disciples at this point were of this mind, or at least Peter was. He intended to do something about it. We learn, "And Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. How dare Jesus speak about rejection, suffering, and death? Why be in talk so negative? Jesus needed to be a lot more positive in his thinking. He needed to express power, not defeat." Now, did Jesus accept Peter's rebuke, apologize for being a downer, and say, "Right, boys, we are on the way to immediate glory"? No, he did not. Instead, turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. Dear Lenten worshippers, it is possible that this could be your problem and my problem too. We could be following Jesus for the wrong reasons. We may be following him because we think that doing so is a ticket to fame, power, and wealth in this world. Now granted, there are some Christians who are allowed to achieve these things. However, this is not what following Jesus is about. Just as Jesus did not come into this world to achieve grandiose things, but to suffer and die, this is what we too are to expect as Jesus followers. Jesus then called to him the crowd with his disciples and said to them, If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Therein note how following Jesus is about self-denial. It's also about cross-bearing. Why would anybody sign on for anything like this? Well, if we listen further, we learn why. Jesus taught, For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. The reason why any of us would be Jesus' disciples is not for the sake of an easy life now, but for the sake of attaining eternal life with God in heaven. Jesus then asks, For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? For what can a man give in return for his life? The answer implied is nothing. However, when Jesus forfeited his life in this world, allowing himself to be rejected, to endure suffering and his death on the cross, he did gain something. He gained something for us. Jesus made atonement for the sins of the world. Jesus fulfilled the words of the prophet Isaiah, which stated, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. And proof of his success was that things Jesus had also mentioned to the disciple, that thing, that after 3 days, I shall rise again. Jesus did rise on Easter. Therefore, which Jesus will you believe in? The one who can bring you glory now? I wouldn't recommend this, for this Jesus is not real. He is instead a figment of our sinful imaginations, a deception of Satan. Instead, believe in the real Jesus, the one who was rejected, who suffered, and who died on the cross, but then rose again. He makes it clear what believing in him as he is involves, that if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That's what we should expect. However, it is the way to ultimate glory. If you find life hard, if sickness has come your way, if you find yourself being rejected because of your Christian beliefs, then that's okay. Jesus said it would be this way. In fact, he has promised to use our sufferings for our good as only he can. He gives us a vision of future glory, and with that, the strength we require to follow the real Jesus. Will the real Jesus please stand up? Friends, he has stood up for you and for me. Trust in him, even if doing so isn't easy. However, it's well worth it. For in the end, he is the way to victory, as Christ rose victorious from death, putting Satan and hell ever behind him and us. Thank God. Amen. And now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen. And now let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, give us your Holy Spirit that we might deny ourselves, take up the crosses you give, and follow your Son through this troubled life into heaven. Prepare us to give up our lives knowing that Christ has already saved them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord, give the Church and all her servants grace to fulfill the ministries to which you have committed them. Grant each of us the strength to confess Christ boldly before the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, teach us to shun neither our Lord's suffering nor our own. When we endure persecution or ridicule for being your children, give us faith and perseverance. As you have promised, deliver us out of the hand of the wicked, and redeem us from the grasp of the ruthless. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O God, Abraham was only one when you called him, but you blessed and you multiplied him. Protect mothers with child and equip fathers to lead and raise their households in your fear and love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord, all kingship belongs to you, and you rule over the nations. Bless all those who govern, that they may rule wisely and in accord with your will. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Great physician, heal and restore. Give all for whom we pray your holy care and strength to bear their crosses, that they may endure to see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, receive our praise this day for Saint Peter and for his confession that Jesus is the Christ. We rejoice that your Son builds his church upon this rock, and that the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Keep us in this faith all our days, through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.